which is Rat Boys. There's a brand new book called The Rat Boys of Kuralabad, and the author, Zulfikar Rashid, is our guest. And how should I refer to you?
Hello, Paul. You can call me Zulfikar.
Zulfikar. Okay, well, Zulfikar, this is interesting. Now, a lot of people aren't aware of this, but there's a religious tradition where these boys, and it's counting on boys, to do begging. It brings in money to the religious officials, but they're purposefully disfigured. They're disfigured in a way to make them look like rats, so that's where the term rat boys comes from.
That is correct. That is correct. The only clarification I would like to make is that it's not really part of religion as the correct religion. It's really a distortion of religion that is used to do these things.
I understand. Do you think there's some religions, though, that have more of an inherent manipulation factor?
You know, my view is that whenever there is an organization around things like religion, you have people, men, women, but mostly men, that are after power. And that's what makes it more easy to do some of these things. So I don't know if this is necessarily inherent in a specific religion. I just think that whenever there is an organization around a religion, things usually don't go well.
Well, man-made organizations, but there has to be some kind of structure. There has to be some kind of organization, I would say. But then you have men inherent in that, and men, you know, just by the nature of the fall, are evil. Most of us are sinful, so you're going to have things. But this is more like an organized crime, isn't it?
It is. In that part of the world, actually, beggary is a business. If you just do a search on Google, you'll see a lot of articles, a lot of material that gives facts and figures around this particular aspect. And the religious aspect of this is because of a lack of education and the poverty level, and people just being more drawn to religion to find some solace, some peace. And then you have, as you described, the people or the men that are ready and willing to manipulate others in the name of religion. So you have this mix of situations, of things that creates these very, very horrific stories.
Well, where do they get the boys, and how young do they start disfiguring them? How do they do that to give them this resemblance to rats so they can use it in the, for begging?
They start as early as possible. Infants, there are some shrines in that part of the world where barren women go and pray at these shrines in the hopes of getting pregnant and having children. But the price they have to pay is that they have to leave their firstborn children at the shrine. And the myth is that if they don't, any other children that are born to them will be disfigured. So that's one source.
Now, is this these rat boys or this myth that you're telling about, is this inherent in Islam? Is it inherent in Islam and Hinduism? What religions do we have involved in this?
Yeah, it is. It is in Islam and Hinduism. It's in India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, and that part of the world. It's more about the shrines, and it's the shrines over there, much like the shrines over here. You have somebody that was actually a pious person, right? Maybe even a saint. And when they passed away, their followers created these shrines around them. And over time, it no longer is as much about the religion and about piety as it is about business and money and power.
Now, have you found that in revealing this and talking about it, that you have critics that come out saying that you're denigrating Islam or denigrating Hinduism, and that how dare you speak of this?
Yes, you know, that's a natural thing. But the problem with that argument is that it's a fact. It happens today. So you know, when you are talking about the truth or the fact, you know, it's not a question of denigrating or not. And personally, I don't think this is part of the religion in any case. This is not what Islam talks about. This is not what Hinduism or any religion would talk about.
How long has this been going on?
Oh, this has been going on for decades.
So it was first made its appearance in the 20th century, or has it been going on for centuries?
No, not for centuries. I would say for over the last maybe 19th centuries when some of these things started. So if you go back, the shrines are 100, 200 years old, some of the shrines. Some are much newer shrines. But these things usually happen around the shrines.
Mm-hmm.
You had also asked about what happens, how do they make them? Well, have you have heard about the Chinese feet binding practice?
Yes, where they bind the women's feet so tightly to keep their feet from growing. It's a painful process, but so that when the women reach maturity, their feet are so small because they view that as a beautiful thing.
Exactly. Imagine the same thing being done to an infant where on the infant's head, either a metal cap is affixed or a leather straps are bound very, very tightly. And as the child grows, the rest of the body and the facial features, etc., grow normal. But because the head is bound so tightly, it does not grow. So it pulls back the eyes, the nose, the ears. And what results in, after a few years, is a red boy.
Yeah. So they don't have to carve them or cut them, but they bind their heads in such a way from such an early age that as they grow, then their head is distorted to give them a rat-like appearance.
That is correct. Specifically for rat boys, that is the case. However, just as part of the organized beggary business that is in that part of the world, it's not uncommon to also maim or mutilate children, women, or men. So they can invoke more sympathy when they are out begging, sitting on the corner of the street, and you would want to give them more money.
And they don't get to keep the money. They have to turn that over to the organized crime or whoever's in charge.
That's absolutely true. If they don't get anything, literally.
Mm. And then where do they live? How are they housed or fed?
So these are in the shrines. Sometimes there are on the grounds areas for these beggars. If they are in the city, then there are also areas where they just live. It's and you know, when I say live, it's not a house, it's tents, or it's just four walls of corrugated steel where you have, you know, a number of the beggars just spending the night, because come morning they have to go about doing their work.
And when they're called rat boys, how old can they be and still be able to beg in this fashion?
Well, so I would say in the last 6 months, we actually found a beggar that was maybe in his late 40s, early 50s.
So you're still going there? You live in California now, but you still travel back to Pakistan because, if I understand correctly, you were born and raised there?
I was born and raised in Pakistan. I spent about 20 years of my life in Pakistan, and then I immigrated to the United States. So, yes, we periodically go to Pakistan with our children.
Okay, and when you say you found a rat boy that was in his 40s, you're saying that are you involved in some form of organization or ministry trying to get help for these individuals to get them out of this?
No, actually, in this and we saw this this beggar. He was obviously a red boy from his distinguishing features, and his handler was with him. So this red boy was in a wheelchair because you know, he was not able to walk properly, but his handler was pushing him around, and people were giving him money.
Money. How prevalent is this? I mean, is this a practice that's widespread throughout that region?
It is widespread, but the good thing is that over the last, I would say, 10 years or so, you see less and less of the rat boys. But you still see, you know, a lot of beggars. There's, from various statistics, there are hundreds of thousands.
I'm going to get you to hold that so that we're up against a break and you can speak of that on the other side. And folks, we're talking with Zulfikar Rashid, and he's the author of the book, The Rat Boys of Karalabad. We'll be right back. Hey, when was the last time you had your security system evaluated for your home or your business? You know, your alarm system may not be as complete and secure as you think it is. And when was the last time you checked prices? Well, if you haven't, you're probably paying too much. SSP Security at 817-306-7191 is offering a free on-site security evaluation of your home or business. In order to properly protect your most valuable possessions, call SSP Security at 817-306-7191 to take advantage of this free offer. Also, there's no high-pressure salesman at SSP Security, and the price quotes are free. Dollar for dollar, quality for quality, you'll know you made the right choice with SSP Security. Let them visit you before the bad guys do. Call SSP Security now at 817-306-7191. That's 817-306-7191.
I'm just curious, where do you go for help with your problems?
Well, there's so much pressure at work with deadlines, bottom lines. I know the Bible has the answers, but how do I apply what I read to my life?
I know I could relate to my family better, and I'm always concerned about our finances. I've heard the Bible has plenty to say about those things, but how can I pull it all together?
You will find the direction you're searching for in the Life Application Study Bible. Over 10,000 notes, a topical index, 200 Bible character profiles, and many more features help answer the question, what does this passage mean for my life? The Life Application Study Bible is the number one selling study Bible, and it's available in the clear and accurate New Living Translation, plus the NIV, King James, and New King James versions. The Life Application Study Bible. Go to newlivingtranslation.com to learn more about the Life Application Study Bible and get free devotions, downloads, and more.
You don't have to reinvent the wheel, but you need to know where you can get 1,000 when you need them. And Napcaster and Supply is the answer. Ron Jagman with Napcaster has more than just casters and wheels for your individual needs. He has the best hand trucks, pallet jacks, ramps, ladders, service carts, storage bins, matting, and a full line of products for your safe and productive business. See more at Napcaster.com. But call Ron Jagman, ready with a quote, and get you rolling. 210-650-5608. The world rolls on Napcaster.
Want to learn the truth about retirement planning? Get answers to all your questions and much more right here on News Talk 930 KLUP. At last, a financial show that you can count on to tell you the truth. Robin Hoppus with Big State Financial will uncover the mysteries of retirement planning.
All guarantees are subject to the claims-paying abilities of the issuing companies.
Tune in this Saturday at 3 for the Big State Financial Show, only on News Talk 930 KLUP.
Hi, I'm Esther Flores, owner of Spa DeSante Health and Wellness Centers. I've always wanted Spa DeSante to be a sanctuary for health, wellness, and blessing. In fact, Spa DeSante means the spa for good health. Our professionals really do care about you. We're going to help you relax, and we have treatments that help soothe everything from headaches, backaches, fibromyalgia, and many other ailments. Spa DeSante truly is a place where stress and anxiety are relieved.
October specials include the Classic Relaxation, an hour and 15-minute massage with Classic Facial for only $79. The Ultimate Relaxation, an hour and a half massage with Ultimate Facial for only $99. And a free mini hot stone treatment with any purchase of an hour massage.
Call us at 210-375-1110 to schedule your appointment.
Visit one of these six San Antonio area Spa DeSante locations or visit them on the web at spadesante.com.
Come to Spa DeSante where you can start your healing and enjoy your life.
Talking with the author of a real interesting book that shines light on the practice that's going on and manipulation by religious officials in aspects. And you were saying, Zulfikar Rashid, that's the author's name. The title of the book is The Rat Boys of Karolabad. And you were saying that this practice goes on in just India and Pakistan or what other countries as well?
Well, you know, I think that it does go on in those countries, but this is more a question of a society where poverty is rampant. When there is poverty, people still have to eat. And if you look at the person...
So you're saying criminals figure out ways to manipulate the public or to get sympathy and get money that way, along with organized crime?
That is the case.
And speaking about that, you know, unemployment's it's pretty high in Pakistan, isn't it?
It's very, very high, more than 50%. And the per capita income, of course, is very, very low, you know, a few dollars a day. And that's the average. So you can imagine there's a very, very rich class, and then you have the very, very poor.
Now, do you feel like that's cultural attitudes? Because I know that the United States gives aid to Pakistan. And so is it the authorities, the government there, they retain most of this money, very little of it gets to the people?
Unfortunately, that is also the case. A lot of the money that goes into aid, I don't have any facts and figures around it, but if you look at the infrastructure versus the amount of money that goes in the form of aid to that part of the world, you can't correlate the state
yes.
of the infrastructure.
Yeah, the amount of aid that comes from the West and just from all over, and then to see that you have this great division, you know, the elite, those that have the great wealth, and then the utter poverty, you know that there's those that are hanging on to that wealth and not doing programs or doing things to help the minorities or the lesser individuals in that country.
Yeah, the one thing that I would say is that there's a great effort to balance things out that has started over the last few years. Is some of the younger, let's say, richer people that have either singers or sports players, they have started non-governmental organizations, their own trusts and charities.
Now that's good. Now, are you saying those are social sports figures or sports figures from other countries?
No, social sports figure and entertainers within Pakistan, for example.
So, because they, you know what, that seems to be a thing rife within the entertainment community, especially throughout the West. And so I guess with more exposure like that, more contact with the West, that gives them ideas, hey, we can do the same thing. Is that what it is?
That's what it is, and there's a huge focus on education. So a lot of these trusts are started to create environment to create educational opportunities for children. Because if you think about it, it's a very vicious cycle.
Yeah.
You're born into poverty, your parents can't do anything else, they put you to work, and you just stay in that cycle.
Now, that seems to be a predominant thing within the religion of Hinduism, isn't it, as far as the caste system? And then you're born into a certain caste, and there's no way to get out of that?
In the Hindu religion, that is true. But I think, you know, I'd like to reiterate that this, the practices here, which is really about the beggary and how
right, and I understand
people,
that. I'm glad you're making the distinction because I know that this is manipulation by corrupt men. It has nothing to do
right.
with Hinduism and Islam. So, all right, now, real quick, you have a website where people can get more information, and also the book is available on Amazon.com, but do you have any other information at your website that you'd like the listening audience to be aware of?
My website is ZulfikarRashid.com, where I frequently write blogs about various topics related to, various ideas related to this topic, and there is more information on the website also.
If you would spell that.
Sure. It's Z-U-L, F as in Frank, I-Q-A-R, R-A-S-H-I-D, as in David, .com.
And your book is available at Amazon.com, and that's the place they should check it out?
It is available on Amazon.com, on Barnes & Noble, on other sites also, yes.
Okay, and also, just as a side note, and I'm not minimalizing it in any way, but you've written extensively recounting your travels to Pakistan and about major figures in the Pakistani artistic and cultural scene, and you yourself are an accomplished artist and calligrapher.
Yes, that's true. I have been writing for years, and art is a hobby, it's a passion of mine. Which translated over time into this book. The symbol, again, of the story that I'm telling is how the shrine, the leader of the shrine in this particular case, is distorting religion to just really amass power and fortune, even though the beginning of the shrine, as I said earlier, in most cases, in most shrines, started with a very pious man, with a pious person, who was almost a saint, and then over the years, their successors transform that into a business.
There is even a temple, and I've forgotten the name of it, but where it's a temple to rats, not boys that look like rats, but rats themselves. And they'll put big bowls out of milk so the rats can come and drink that milk. But it's a sign of holiness or some type of religious practice. People, travelers, come there, and they'll actually bow down, and then they'll scoop a little milk out of the cups that the rats are drinking out of those basins and drink it themselves. Do you know which temple I'm talking about?
That is correct. Yes, I do. And this is part of the Hindu religion where they have various deities, and the deities take the form of animals. So the cow, the elephant, the rat, the monkey are holy animals in the religion. But in as far as rat boys are concerned, there is actually a specific shrine in Pakistan where you have a more prevalence of rat boys.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. Now, you're saying that that you're wanting to make the entire world aware of this. So what can we in the West do to better understand this kind of traditional abuses and threats? Because a threat like this, this expands. It's a threat to, because it's organized crime, it's a threat to humanity. So how can we understand this better, and what are you suggesting the West do about it?
Well, to understand this better, I think that the good thing is in this day and age, there's a lot of information that is available. One only has to have a computer and you can find a lot of information about the world. So I think the first thing is just awareness. As people become aware of the situation, you know how if there's darkness, you shine a light and the darkness starts to dissipate.
Yes.
So I think just awareness and knowledge is going to help and is helping dissipate the darkness of these ideas. Some of the NGOs that I mentioned earlier, the non-governmental organizations in Pakistan, started by the younger generation who have the means to do something about it, that's also helping a lot. There are various organizations like the ED Trust in Pakistan that is doing a lot of good work to help the poor, to help with disease, to help with education.
Well, this is an interesting read, and it's the Rat Boys of Karalabad, and its author is Zulfikar Rashid. And you can go to his website, which is ZulfikarRashid.com. And so Google that and find out more about this topic. And Zulfikar, I appreciate your time very much. It was most interesting.
Thank you very much.
All right, folks, there it is. We'll be right back. Don't go away.